looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Well, today I have to say I'm trying to keep myself extremely calm, but I'm so excited. I feel like I'm hosting a party. I've invited callers in to share with us today because we have somebody who I'm going to give this beautiful introduction because that's exactly what I think of the word when I think of her. She, of course, is an author, a medium, and spiritual coach. But more than that, she just holds this, like I said, beauty around her, but more than that, calm. I just think of the word calm. And if you've all heard me, you know I'm excited. And I feel like I'm almost like a beautiful, when you're swaddled up and it's like you get this forced calm around you. But it just feels so comforting and soothing. And that's why I was really excited to have Kim Babcock come today to us and open up the lines to have some questions answered for you, because she has this way of keeping us present, having us go inside to our hearts and find out what it is that's right for us so that we can have that united and peaceful and friendly life. Like, just, I feel like there's this whole bond around her that she's just letting everybody know there are no barriers. There's no segregation. There's no separation. And we just got to connect with our hearts and love and hear that inner voice. And that's why I'm so excited to call in. And so I want to welcome Kim Babcock to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, anytime I'm on a show or hosting my own show, it's such a pleasure to just to, you know, hold space for the callers, for the listeners to remember their own divinity. So that's why I'm here. That's my purpose, is to hold space for other people just to go, you know, back in, look inside their heart and find that inner divinity, that personal power and truth again. And sometimes we have to break it down. Sometimes we have to find what that landscape actually looks like. And that's what I love to do. That's my passion. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. And, you know, even when you speak to me, when you say that, when you're holding space, and that's something that, you know, we do hear, like, oh, I'm holding space for you, I'm doing this, and I really feel it from you, because I believe that you have the inner strength enough to do that. And if you could just share, first of all, because you've written a beautiful book, Inside Out, and I really do think of that inside space that really is connected to everything, and it's called a journey to inner peace. So was this important, that you felt that the world needed peace, or that you needed peace, or how did that come about?
Well, definitely. You know, this kind of all of the above. I wrote this book. Well, actually, this book wrote itself, and it had been asking me to write it for so long, it seemed like, after I went on tour and just, you know, held events at different cities and offered, you know, channeling spirit, offered my mediumship, and also, you know, workshops to help people kind of come into that place of their own personal power, their own intuitive self-awareness. I recognized a common thread that we all hold. It's part of being human, but that common thread seemed like such a loud presence, and it's the inability for most of us to deal with reality. It seems like there's always this underlying hesitation. Whenever something doesn't feel good or feel right, there's this underlying hesitation. And then that's what turned in, you know, to the title of Inside Out, because a lot of times what we do to deal with reality is we turn ourselves inside out, searching for peace, searching for, you know, coping mechanisms and strategies. And in doing that, we forget, you know, we look externally and we forget that all along, everything was inside of us that we needed or that we looked for. And so the goal of the book was just to be a self-help guidebook, so to speak, that reminds people to allow love to govern you and not your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember that your emotions and your thoughts, you know, if you can master those entities, then true self-awareness is born. But I feel like when the emotions or the thoughts govern our behavior, which it does, we're human, it does, you know, all the time. But as long as we have the awareness of when that's happening, which is called mindfulness, mm-hmm. That's when we can make that massive shift in life to pull ourselves out of that rut, or at least have the awareness so the rut doesn't last very long. You know, when you hear people say, oh, I've been in this funk and I can't get out of it, when you become the observer of your own funk, that's when you can snap out of it a lot easier. So that was the goal of the book. And it was just a compilation of everybody's stories from when I met so many people when I was traveling, and their stories combined with my experiences with them hopefully brought this new presence to the way we can stay still and not turn ourselves inside out in that, you know, that quest. Because it ultimately, I think we all know and we all have experienced, it's an infinite quest. When we look outside of ourselves for peace, it is an infinite quest, and emptiness, you know, will abide every time if we look outside of ourselves. So that's the goal of the book.
When I think of you and you're sharing that, the words really do come up. You talk about traveling, experiences, quests, and just the, I feel like there's all these, it was important for you on your journey to meet so many different kinds of people to recognize all the similarities and the connection. Because you really traveled quite a bit and met some incredible people and tribes.
Absolutely.
Like that word.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of my favorite sayings that I've ever heard came from a shaman that I had an experience with. And he said, community is human nature. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that's so true and so powerful, because even though we might meet, you know, a vast array of different kinds of people, for me, like, literally, that's my drug. I absolutely love humans. I love their stories, love how diverse they can be. So in that, you know, that's where I see and find, which you can look at the silver lining, that's where that community is born. If we can have adoration for diversity, that's where community is born. Because, I mean, we all want to feel connected. We all want to feel validated. And to maximize our own existence, that's how we do it, is having that adoration. So, you know, for me, it certainly was a key catalyst. It was a catalyst for me to meet these different people and be introduced to things that might make you go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't in my comfort zone, but I'm okay mm-hmm. with it. And
right.
then when you start to find yourself breaking those barriers of comfort zones, then you go, oh, okay, this is a newfound freedom. You know, this is, and that freedom is nirvana, when you don't have to have those boundaries anymore. To those boundaries.
So, want to ask a question when we open up the lines? That we've created ourselves. It's like we know it. We've set these. I have to do this. I have, or if I don't do this, somebody else. We don't have the clarity, or was it the comfort maybe in ourselves, or the love in ourselves, or why is it that we do get so overwhelmed with these and then place those boundaries?
Well, I think, you know, a couple of things come into play when people, number one, feel they need to put boundaries in place. It's because they have somehow created an identity with whatever it is that they're trying to resist. So when you've allowed something to take part in your identity and then you try to resist it, you become enslaved to the path you take to resist it. And we all know what we push away from will continue to push back.
Mm-hmm.
What we resist will persist in our life until we surrender. Then when you surrender, in that state of vulnerability is pure power, because nothing can have a hold on you anymore. And I think that's the trick behind, I'm sure you've heard, we've all heard this big, you know, enormous wave roll across all of mankind saying, you know, we've got to let go, this big trend. Practice mm-hmm. letting go and you'll feel better. Let go, let go. But ultimately, it's not about letting go, because sometimes that's not where the power is. My guides mm-hmm. have addressed that the power is really just redesigning connections, redesigning the way you allow things to be connected to you and the way you're connected to them. Energy itself can't be broken, it can't be stopped or blocked. So it's a matter of redesigning the energetic connection between you and something else or someone else. When you do, it loses its grip on you. So there's mm-hmm. the letting go. And I think that's where people say, you know, I don't know how to let go. I don't have the power, or I don't have the strength. But it's more of even going beyond that and looking at these boundaries we create in a form of resistance. But instead of barricading ourselves into our own comfort zone, so to speak, mm-hmm. it's more powerful to surrender. Practice transparency is what I always tell people.
Ooh, what does that mean?
It's literally, to me, this is what it feels like. It feels like being neutral. Mm-hmm. When you're transparent, nothing has a grip on your identity, and you don't limit your identity to things of this mm-hmm. earthly realm. If you know yourself at the core, at the whole level, through your essence, you know, I always tell people to get to know that part of you, take away all the labels, like take away the fact that you're a mom or you're a dad or you're a sister or your brother or you're an accountant, you know, take away all your labels, all of them, and then examine the leftovers. And that's your true essence. And knowing that space, that part of you, that truth of you, is what allows you to be transparent in all things. Basically knowing your immortality in all things. Situations can really take us over and make us feel very, very mortal and very sort of like some people, you see them having like this complex of like dragging around a ball and chain, and they've mm-hmm. created their identity with something that holds them back, and that becomes their ball and chain. So when they can release that identity that's, you know, that we've created with all of these things, well, yeah, I'm a radio show host, but I'm also, you know, everything else. It's that practicing that transparency is what allows us to have that freedom. So, but you know, I think the underlying message in all of this too is believe in its simplicity. Because mm-hmm. people say, well, yeah, but that's hard to do. And I think it's as a mass, we've been conditioned to believe in complexities, that things are difficult before they're good, or they're difficult before they're easy. You know, and people, we not only accept that mentality, but a lot of times people put it into play. Like, well, I have to work really hard, you know, to reap any good reward or benefits, or I have to sweat and this and that before good can come. But when you allow simplicity to be itself, everything shifts in that direction. So it's a matter of allowing these things to be simple, because you're existing in the present through the heart instead of in the head through your boundaries.
I love that you actually highlighted that we believe that, you know, they have to be difficult before they're easy. And right, coming back to, yeah, why can't it just be easy? Why can't it just be perfect and good and transparent and there? And I was going to ask, because when we will go to the commercial, but not for 3 more minutes, and then we'll come back, we'll take callers. But I want to ask you, so that the callers know, or I don't know if you can even explain it in words, if I'm imagining I'm going to call in and Kim's going to help me, and is it something that you're, like the word channeling, or the word, are you holding space by going, losing all, like dropping all identities and becoming transparent so that you are connecting with their energy?
Absolutely. When I channel, when I connect with my guides, there's a matter of to me, being in the appropriate space to channel is to lose the sense of Kim and to go into the space of, mm-hmm. you know, one, the existence of one, that we all exist there. So there, you know, that's how you connect to that oneness, that vibration, and that's where all of intuitive information exists, and everybody can do it. That's a huge part of my goal, is to teach everybody and remind everybody, that we're all incredibly intuitive. It's just that the mind gets in the way. the mind and the intuitive mind, you know, the rational mind and intuitive mind don't really get along. They're like oil and water. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of separating from, you know, time and space, the essence of Kim, and realizing the greatness that's beyond that. It sounds a little bit lofty, and it's difficult to explain sometimes, but I promise it's there. It's there for everybody, too. That's the great thing about it.
I just love that. Well, as we will go to commercial, I'm going to let, you know, Kim, you know, let your mind kind of sink away and just go into intuition. And I'm really grateful that you said that because it helps me. So I know that when even I am trying to hear my own intuition, it's like I got to tell that mind to just, you shush, you take your identities over there and let me connect with that. So we do already have some callers on the line. So I just want to let them know as they're listening, we will just have a short commercial break. When we get back, we'll clear our space, become present, and then we'll find out what Kim can help you with. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
All right. I'm so glad that we're back here, and I'm taking my breaths and trying to become very present and clear my mind just so I can offer space to all the callers that are here. We just want to let everybody know when you're calling in, and I'm going to give you the number in 2 seconds here, we are going to allow everybody to ask one question that is going to really help them find clarity to what they're really just kind of getting all in a scattered tizzy around, and they think, what can I do here? How can I help? So Kim's going to allow that space to come through. And anybody calling in, the number is area code 202-570-7057. So I'll keep announcing that number. But right now we do have, actually I should ask Kim Babcock, are you ready to take our first caller?
Absolutely. I'm here.
Okay, great. So we have Jill from New York calling, and I'm just going to let her go ahead and ask and see what comes up.
Hi, Jill. Hi, Lisa.
Welcome.
Hi, Kim. Thank you.
Hi,
thank you for having me. Hey. Okay.
Absolutely. What's your question?
My question is, I have a couple of options in front of me regarding my career, and as much as I try and quiet my mind, it's not... I'm just not getting the clarity that I need to make a decision on what my next step is.
Okay, sure. There's a couple things, Jill, that come through just as I listen and connect to your energy. So, the first thing I need to acknowledge is your energy is really tense and almost like this feeling of nervousness. Like I feel like I'm going to speak in first person as if I'm you. In this situation, I feel like I'm under pressure to make a decision. And it's kind of like that's clouding your, like that pressure is clouding your ability to think rationally in this, but then that rationalization is also fogging like your ability to feel it out and listen to what resonates with your heart. So we'll break that down a little bit more in just a second. First of all, I need to acknowledge really to get in a place of clarity with these decisions, you really, sometimes my guides and the guidance they offer can be really blunt. And I don't sugarcoat it because there's no sense. So this is what they're saying. To really gain clarity with decision-making for yourself in the professional aspect of your life, you should be taking better care of yourself personally. There's something going on with health that feels like, overall like systemic sluggishness, tiredness, circulation. They're giving me all these symbols for systemic functionality. So I don't know if it's just a matter of feeling tired or if it's just not feeling well, not feeling motivated all the way around, but it's affecting your physical health, which is this energy is moving slowly physically, spiritually. And so that's what's also kind of like dragging out or causing a hang up in this energy to flow into your professional aspect of your life. Take care of your physical health, make that a priority, and you'll see that bleed into the professional aspect of your life, where it will flow with ease to make these decisions. Now, I want to get back to the actual decision-making process. And what they're showing is you need to look at what's going to be more accommodating for your lifestyle, not so much financial aspects of it. So it's really easy for us to make decisions based on finances and things like that. But they're saying to put that all aside and out of the picture and look at lifestyle, because it's a matter of going, okay, can my schedule accommodate these changes and the people in my life too? How is that going to affect the people in my life? Like that's where you should be focusing. And again, that focus will come in sharper and be a little more clear as you make your health a priority. Now, when I tell people make your health a priority, whether it's through just moving more physically or eating better, you know, to me, eating better is just eating with presence. being present, being there, just to nourish yourself in that presence. So if it's through the act of eating or exercise, whatever, stand in and be present for yourself, and that's where the clarity will become sharp for you. Also, one last thing, they want you to be aware that you're going to have a lot of suggestions. This is like heavy. There must be a lot of suggestions. So it's either like, you know, just close family members, maybe significant others saying, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. So you're going to have this heavy energy come upon you that's like suggesting to you what to do. But it's really important that you set all of that aside and get into a quiet space just with yourself and feel out what's going to accommodate your lifestyle, the lifestyle that you want. I'm talking about like flexibility with your schedule and your ability to be, you know, have free time and things like that. It's not about the money, so you're going to have to look past that. So I hope that helps you. But, you know, remember not to, you know, sometimes we feel under pressure to make a decision, and sometimes we pull the trigger thinking, like, this is it. I got to make this decision and move on to the next phase. But that can often lead to, obviously, like, impulsive decisions that may not turn up good results. So just be very present with your thought process in this and allow yourself to explore a little bit more, you know, the accommodating lifestyle. So I hope that helps you, and I hope that you will stand in for yourself, be present for yourself, and allow your health to become your best priority, because that will bleed into every other aspect of your life.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I've written it all down, and I will definitely pay attention.
You're welcome, Jill. Take care.
Awesome. And Jill, just before you go, because I don't want you to scooch away,
Just before the show, I want to share this with both Kim and you. Just before the show, I pulled a card because I felt that was, you know, like to set it up. And you're going to laugh. The card I did pull was choose wisely. And when Kim said something very specific, I know, and ready for this is my favorite part. Kim, you said this exactly. And the last line, when I look up what that card really talks about, because it talks about everything. Far outweighs one made emotionally or in desperation. I know. So, Jill, okay. It does sound like, yeah, you've really got a lot of support behind you. So I'm so grateful that you called in. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day, ladies. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Oh, Kim,
that's amazing.
And Kim, I love that you mentioned about lifestyle. Is whatever decisions we're making in life, is this, you know, not just whether it's not money or something like, but not just one thing, but does this work for our heart, for our lifestyle,
right?
Like what the life we want to build and create. And I really want to thank you for allowing that to come through, because I think we all.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot comes through in just a flash. So it's like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm just blubbering on and on, but I'm so grateful for my guides and that everybody can keep up. So it's a lot of fun. Glad you guys are.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. So I don't know how this works with you. So do we just take a breath and then kind of go to the next caller, or?
Let's keep on going. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, it seems that we have Shelly from Canada calling in. So we'll see if she's on the line there. Shelly?
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi, Kim.
Yeah, Shelly?
Yeah,
hi, Shelly.
I'm hoping that I'm not going to break up.
I'm here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm hoping that we're not going to break up. When Lisa was talking, it was breaking up a little bit. So are we okay so far?
Sounds good.
So far, so good.
Okay, great.
What's your question, Shelly? What can we help you with?
My question is, how will I stay in my house, my home?
Okay. This is interesting. You know, as you're talking, I allow the vibration and the energy of your question to come forward. But I'm really listening to my guide while you're talking. So I'm holding space for your vibration to come in to my intuition, and I'm just kind of literally plugging that into my guides. So I just kind of act as a bridge for the two to meet together. And when you're talking, what they're showing, what they highlighted was self-doubt and insecurity and false securities in, like, certainty, false securities, like, in promise. So what I mean by that, and I'm not talking about somebody's word or something like that, what I'm talking about is if we, you know, look out to the horizons and we have certainty in our future, you know, if we have all of these things in place and secure and we can see that, it provides us this sense of security. But ultimately, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised tonight in any certain way. All we ever are going to exist in and experience and be a part of is the now. So what they're saying to you is that you are displacing your sense of security in certainty. I know this sounds a little bit wordy. I'm trying to keep it clear. But what they're saying is for you to go back into the place of, do you remember, I don't know if you remember just a second ago what Lisa said was with the other caller, does it work for your heart? You need to be asking yourself these questions. And you also need to be very trusting of your ability to feel and hear what's right for you. So obviously I will have them offer guidance in your question in just a moment, but my guides and I, our mission is to always empower you first to see and hear for yourself, because ultimately that union for you in your own greatness is what's most important here. So don't ever forfeit your own ability to know what's best for you and to be able to make that decision. You know you have the capability to do that. It just might take some digging. So what they're saying to you is you know how easy it is? This is literally word for word what they're saying. You know how easy it is to focus on what you don't want? And you know how easy it is to focus on your fears of the happenings of the things that you don't want? It's real easy. It's easy because it takes focus. and it takes presence to align with what you do want. And we're so naturally conditioned to fall into that place of unconsciousness where we're not awake. So they're telling you to be awake in the emotional awareness of what you want. Do you want to stay in the house that you're at? Only you can answer that. Do you see yourself staying in the house that you're in the home that you're in? Only you can answer that. Now, if you say, well, I don't really see it, I don't really know. I know sometimes, trust me, I've been in those places too where there's no certainty anywhere you look. So that's the greatest place for opportunity also. That's your playground to allow your intuition combined with your imagination to create a new reality for yourself. So stay awake in your ability to align with the emotional reality of what you want. So if staying in your home is what you want, then align with the emotional reality of that, going, oh, I had this unexpected, you know, income, and this really helps me to stay where I'm at. That feels great. You see what I mean? Keep those emotional realities in the present of what you want. Now, to get kind of dusty, I always tell people, that's the floaty, lofty advice. Now let's bring it down a little bit, ground it to where you feel a little more connected, because it's really easy to feel, you know, all airy-fairy and up in the sky with it. But to bring it down and give a little more advice, they say to be practical with your monies, your finances, your spending, but please don't let that practicality turn into fear, which it does very easily for you. When you go, oh, you know, I probably shouldn't spend money on that because blah, 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 you are telling yourself, your conversation with yourself is also with the universe, and so you're declaring that you have limits. You have created that attachment to money, to finances. And please understand, it goes beyond money. It's in the terms of abundance and good things coming to you. You have an attachment that is limited as to what you accept for yourself. So please allow yourself to go beyond your fears that...
Yes, is anybody there?
She really needs to hear that.
Oh, there she is. I hear her. You okay, Shaw?
I'm here, but yeah, I lost you guys.
We do have it recorded, which is good.
Maybe you can go back and listen to the recording, because this piece is pretty important for you. To not allow, you know, practicality with money and, like, compartmentalizing your money and your spending and finances. That practicality easily turns into fear for you, to where you think, oh, I'm being practical with this, you know, I'm just being realistic, but that's actually, you know, masked
feeding fear,
where you're attached to fearful, you know, movements and transactions of money. So there are emotional ties to the past and finances that you are afraid of repeating themselves. So it's like afraid of the past history repeating itself. So just be very mindful of that too. Mindfulness brings you into the present so you can detach from those past patterns. But you need to trust your ability to see what you want for yourself, to hear what you want for yourself, and begin to envision that. So again, be very mindful of when your mind falls in, detract that. So I hope that helps you, Shelley. Lisa, did you pull a card for this one?
I was so, oh my gosh, I feel like that helped almost everybody. But Shelley, I hope that that does come through. I pulled a card, and I find this interesting. You ended up talking quite a bit about money. The card I had pulled was recognition and reward. And without even reading what that's about, what you talked about, self-doubt in the beginning and not trusting. And I think that recognition, that to recognize who you are, Shelley, to from yourself. Yeah. So that's what I got. Oh my gosh. All of these are just so important. Do you feel that supported you, Shelley?
Somewhat. As I said, I have to try to absorb what I did catch. I did hear most of it, but some of it got broken up.
Okay. Well, you know what? If you email me, then at lisa@lightonliving.com, I will make sure that we get you the replay. And it's going to be replayed on the station as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Shelley, for that.
Thank you, Kim.
I've actually done something, Kim. I hope it's okay. I've actually requested that the station just skip the next commercial because I know we have Sandra online. I believe Sandra from Toronto, Canada again. And I was like, let's keep this flow going if we can, and then we'll move into that.
Yeah, let's
do it. Okay. Sandra, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Okay, sorry about that. Is that better?
Question?
You can hear me a bit better.
Yeah,
there. Yep, we can hear you.
Okay.
What's your
wonderful
question, Sandra?
So my question is, I really would like to work on taking the word, like, try out of my vocabulary and I want or I need. Do you have any recommendations on how I can progress with that in my daily practice, with my mindset?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And this is such a beautiful perspective because I find myself using these words, and a lot of people too use the words like try and hope. I use that hope word a lot. It can easily be confused with faith, but I feel like hope, trying, and a lot of these words perpetuate that state. When you try, mm-hmm. you perpetuate more reasons to have to try. And when you hope, you perpetuate more situations and more realities to try to hope and hope and hope. And then ultimately,
right.
We allow everything to fall into this abyss where we feel like it's just outside of our reach. When shifting your vocabulary, it first takes mindfulness. This is just my own personal experience. Is presence and observation of who you are. It's a constant awareness and a constant state of observation of who you are, what you're doing, when you're doing it, how you're doing it. It sounds like a lot of work, but it's really not. It's actually quite the opposite. When you allow yourself to be present and be present with whatever it is you are achieving, that's when you eliminate those words. You know, I am successful in blah, 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 or I achieve blah, 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 whatever it is, instead of trying, because, again, it keeps you in that state of longing. Like, anytime you're motivated by that longing or that despair or that attachment to not having it, then, again, you just perpetuate that, and you're living in this illusion of almost getting what you want, but it's just outside your reach. So it's quite simple. It's very simple. It's just a matter of presence with whatever it is. When you can allow and accept yourself to be present with whatever it is, that's when those words naturally just begin to dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's such a great point because I think everybody can really benefit from that. But you have to be aware and mindful of what it means to be present. That's the key.
Yeah.
That's literally.
I almost feel like I need like a hammer. Hammer my head every single time it happens. As a reminder.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, and Sandra, too, just while I have you here, I love that I pulled the card. Are you ready for this one? I pulled the authority card.
And it's
a man. And he's got his arms crossed. But, you know, in that way that I'm centered, I'm present, I'm focused, and I get to choose and I get to control this situation. So I can either try or hope or I will. You know, this is me.
I will.
And so I love that card come. So, yes, that was that's a beautiful question. I wonder how many, like you, even Kim, when you started off there, you had said yourself that try something that you have in your world and you catch it and you think, oh, you know, I'm creating that perpetual state of that. So that is just
exactly.
Yes. Well, thank you, Sandra.
Well,
thank you.
We all fall to that sometimes. So, you know, when you fall to that state of I'm trying, I'm going to try, that's okay. Have
exactly.
And as soon as you find yourself catching yourself going, oh, wait, you know, I'm aware, I just used that trying thing, you know, shift your vibration, shift your awareness into the now and say, I am.
Right. I am.
It'll change everything.
Love it.
No.
Thank you. Appreciate
well, thank
it.
You, Sandra.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yes. Thank you too. Bye. Kim, I have the words "I am" tattooed on the back of my hand.
Oh, I love it. I love that. That's awesome.
Aw. When you're, I was going to ask too, because as we wait, I'm going to give the phone number one more time just in case somebody wants to call in. And then I have a question for you. It's just about being present. So the number, everybody, if you're calling in, is area code 202-570-7057. And also, I just want to put it out there. If somebody does, they're a little bit nervous to call or they're not sure, or they maybe miss it, you can always email me at lisa@lightonliving.com. So if you ever want to add a question in there. But because you... all kinds of different people with all state of being. Right. Where is there a certain, I don't know, I want to ask this. Is there an easy way of becoming present? That's what I want to ask. But is there, like, well, how do we do that?
Well, it is true. You know, a lot of us, I feel like, are traveling more and more. And, you know, that aspect is becoming easier this day and age for people to travel and for it to be affordable and that sort of thing. Traveling is beautiful that you kind of opened up with that because it requires presence. You have to be present, especially when you're in a foreign place. You know, it's almost like you have no other choice but to be present, to be aware of your surroundings, to figure out where you're going. So it definitely demands a presence. And you know, as I'm going to be holding a workshop in New York, and it's all about manifestation, and it boils back down to the very same thing. It's presence with what it is that you are wanting to manifest, and in the type of presence vibrationally that basically brings that into fruition, into your life. So this is the key, I feel like, across all religions and rituals and customs. The key is not the ritual itself, but the transformation that the ritual, you know, can basically incur within you. So, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, I go outside and I walk barefoot, and that's really grounding. But that's a great way to ground yourself, but what's actually happening is just presence. You're being intentional, and you're being you're allowing that moment to transform you. It's the allowance and opening up and holding space, like we were talking earlier, for presence, and that presence to transform your state of mind. And so it could be riding a bike, it could be painting, working in your garden. I try to help people understand, like, meditation is presence and vice versa. Presence is meditation. And all of the above are grounding and grounded. So when we allow something to transform us to our highest state of being at that possible moment, that is presence, you know, when we hold space for something. So then I feel like, you know, to highlight the opposite, if we're not holding space for something or we're resisting, there's resistance presence if transformation doesn't occur or if there's not openness.
Ooh. Okay. Oh, this is getting exciting. Hold on. I'm going to dive into this for a second. Okay. What I get was you're saying, and this makes so much sense to me. Ritual is actually like an anchor. So it anchors you to that present moment. It's like a bridge. And I am like, just before the show, when I had said to you, I need to light my candle and ding my little sound so that, you know, because to me, you're right. I had to become present and be aware of what happened before. Now, had it not done anything, so yeah, I went and I was still thinking about whatever's in my mind, but I lit the candle and I dinged the thing and I had my tea, but I wasn't present. If the transformation didn't occur, that means I was resisting it.
Right.
But it was resistance.
The key to any kind of ritual is if you don't allow it to transform you, you know, presence with it isn't occurring. That's just in my own personal my own personal opinion. That's what I see and what I feel, but you know, transformation occurs, and that is presence. That's grounded, a grounded state of awareness. So, you know, you can do anything to ground yourself and be present. But if transformation doesn't occur, then, you know,
presence is lacking, and groundedness is hard to feel. It's hard to feel grounded in something.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you helped me, actually, on this one. But there you go. I was going to ask because I want to make sure I get a chance to invite everybody to connect with you. But if, like, I don't know if we can do this or you'll be able to tap into it. But I had a friend who wanted to call into the show, but she couldn't. And is it possible to tap into their energy and I could ask a question for her, or would she need to be on?
Of course. Yeah, because, you know, in the matter of quantum physics, which is what this is, time and space really doesn't have no purpose here, I guess,
okay.
Basically. So whether she's here or there, it doesn't matter. You know, if you ask the question on her behalf,
okay.
You're holding space for her. So it's literally like it's the same thing as if she were calling in and asking herself.
Okay, great. So I'm gonna envision her kind of thing right now in the question of feeling, because I have known her for some time. So her name is Charisse, and she has, without giving too much detail, but she has been really in the same career and job place for a lifetime almost, and she struggles. She doesn't want to be there. She wants to leave, but it just, between everything from finances to maybe identity, I don't know, but she's, the question surrounding, it's always surrounding her place of employment.
There's a couple things that my guides want to highlight here for her. It's important that she understands the poison of her prison. That's how they word it.
Oh, my gosh, so true.
Poison, and she keeps drinking it. So energetically, just for her to understand what she's doing to herself, sort of by holding herself prisoner, when the heart's asking for something and the mind is requiring something else, it's very toxic when the two argue, basically. When the heart and mind argue, that's where she's at. She's very afraid. She knows what she wants, but she's afraid to make a change, literally because she's afraid of change. Some people have... And so this is where she needs to really shine. Like, this is, they're literally showing me these sparkly, shiny letters that spell out resilience. And this is her fear, is like, will she be resilient? This, whatever this change is, she will make. It's going to take a lot of courage on her part and presence, of course, presence with herself and her desire, or I guess, or her, whatever it is she's wanting to step into, because that presence eliminates and will just draw out her fear. So this is where she needs to focus. Resilience comes into play when you allow yourself to adapt. It's very easy. She's afraid of change. She is someone who likes routine. She needs change and wants it, but the routine is secure and it's very well known for her. Like, she's a master of her routine, and I think she's one of those people that carries the mentality of, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But sometimes you don't need to fix anything, and it may not be broke, just still you might need something, a different tool or, you know, different lifestyle, whatever it is. For her, it's more about adaptability and resilience. The adaptability will provide her the capacity to be resilient in this change. She's going to have to be able to set aside everybody's questions, because a lot of people are going to say, why are you doing this, or how come now? May not believe in whatever it is she's longing to go find or search or this quest, something that's calling her. So she's going to need to be able to shush those voices, because what makes perfect sense to her may not make any sense at all to someone else that's close to her. So she's going to have to be able to keep that out of her heart for now. It's one of those things, like, you know, people, you don't have to convince them in anything that you're doing. They will eventually just catch up and walk the same path with her. So for her, it's all about resilience through adaptability. So I don't think it's a fear of money or financial security. It seems like there's some underlying securities there financially that she's not paying attention to. Like, I don't know if she, this is just an example, but it's like already having a 401k set up or already having, you know, a retirement fund set up. But it's just, there's just more. She's afraid of change. She doesn't, she's someone who doesn't like change, but at the same time, she wants it. So.
Right. Oh, my God. I know her so well. I cannot believe everything you just said to me. It's insane. I want to highlight this just so the listeners can really hear, and I do want them to connect with you, because she actually is an author. She's written a story, and it is almost word for word that she has said that her workplace has poisoned her. And you said that in the very beginning, so I'm kind of prepared. Oh, my goodness. This is
It's just like, you know, having that awareness and going back to work every day. I was definitely in that position, too. And, you know, when I worked in the medical field, I knew it was my poison. And every day I went to work, I felt like my soul died a little bit more and more. Mm-hmm. And I also learned the lesson of how literal the universe takes you when you beg for signs in a transition. Just be very mindful, because the universe is very literal. So you
right.
can get stickled in the face.
Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh. And that's actually great advice, too. So if anybody right now wants to connect with you, whether it's through a workshop or one-on-one, because right now we're not doing channeling from like the other side of spirit and angel, but you do that as well, and that's more of in a private setting. Let us know, let everybody know what you do and how they could connect with you.
Definitely. Well, my next workshop is in New York on March 24th. We're going to be near Central Park, and you can find information about that and my services and connect with me through my website, which is kimbabcockonline.com. And all of that information is there on my website, and also on YouTube. I've been working to create more and more content just to be helpful and empowering for everybody going through any kind of transition in their life. Someone had this, you know, famous saying long ago that the only thing that stays the same is that everything changes. It's always a constant. Everything is always changing. And as we learn to adapt and grow and face our reality, that's my goal, is to help people feel empowered in doing that. So kimbabcockonline.com is my website. That's where you can find out all information about me. And, of course, social media across the board, Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, kim.babcock. It's so much fun hearing from everybody and taking questions and channeling, whether it's your loved ones or my guides, to offer guidance and advice like we did today. It's a huge pleasure and honor to be in a space to be able to do that. So I thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun, and it went by way too fast.
I know. And in my last little 2 minutes, and thank you so much for that, because it really has been like, it just feels like when you said about the word resilience, having like sparkly lights around it kind of thing and shining up there for that reading for Charisse. I really believe that if we could, often we have that doubt that sneaks in, just like everybody right now, from our first question of, I've got so many decisions to make, which one is going to be right, to can I stay here at my home, can I not, can I, you know, all these things. It's that doubt that sneaks in. And if we were to wrap up by helping people, if they've got, like for me even, I'm going to throw this out, I do cards. I love my cards, but I hear in my head, let's call it, in my heart first, and then I kind of go to the cards to give me a physical word or form to kind of help me walk myself through it. But then I'm like, am I making this up? You know, am I just, you know, creating this? Like, am I just having fun? Like when you're little and you play house and you play this, like, am I making this up? Like, how, I mean, right now I feel like there's validation going on, because I'm like, oh my gosh, that is Charisse, you know, and everything. But how do we know when we're inside our own hearts and heads that we're not making up, that we really are hearing something?
When that battle doesn't occur, then you know, because that is definitely the voice of the ego, and we all have it. You know, there's times where I'm still hearing that back and forth, where, you know, the mind is arguing with the heart, and when that doesn't happen anymore, you know that you're purely in the heart. When there is that doubt, that's the voice of the ego, because the ego always fears its own death. And it always needs our reaction of doubt or guilt to have life in us. So, you know, when we have doubt, and that's the experience, I feel like that's ego. Mm-hmm. It's experiencing its own death or fearing that. When we shift completely into the heart, then you know, because those arguments aren't even present anymore. Now, people say, well, how do you do that? That's where it's going to take great faith on everybody's personal capacity. you know, just to be present with your heart and your faith. Faith in yourself, faith in something. This is a quote from my book. It came from my guides a long time ago that said something along the lines of, like, have faith in something greater than yourself, but know yourself in that greatness.
Like,
to envelop you. And that's when that will eliminate all of that doubt.
Okay, so that's what, let's leave all the listeners with that. That is Kim Babcock sharing with us. The most beautiful thing is to, yes, have faith in something greater than ourselves and to know that we are part of that greatness. Thank you so much, Kim. Such a pleasure. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, we'll have you back soon. Okay, bye, everyone.